This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Marty Sliva,
hey.
Sam Claiborne,
hey.
And Brian Altano.
What's up?
And we've got a great show for you this week. We are back from E3.
It was so fun.
It was very tiring. It was long. It was a long week.
Yeah, my voice is. I sound like Ving Rhames.
Yeah. It's gonna be a fun show. I mean, you got sick afterwards. We're all gonna have a little bit
whitewash. Ving Rhames. Great job,
Ving. You lost a lot of weight.
That's the most noticeable thing they say when they see me, Ving Rhames.
Band-aid on your neck.
We had a great show, or we had a great time in LA at E3 last week. So lots of cool games. So much to talk about, and I know that you, dear listeners and viewers, have lots of questions about E3, which we are going to answer them here in just a few moments. But first, get lots of release dates at E3. Mm-hmm. They call it the Release Date Expo.
I just wanted to point out
what
something.
The E stand for?
I go down water slides butt first.
Wow, what? Like facing away? Facing the...
What I like to do is... when he said butt first.
Oh.
What I like to do is I'm sitting on the water slide, and then I flip over into my stomach, and then go down that way.
That's pretty... That's like an advanced technique.
It's great.
Advanced water sliding.
You got to, you know, you might scrape your chest a little bit.
How often do you water slide? Do you have like a method?
Has been a while.
I think I've water slide once in the last 20 years.
Do you ever go to like a hotel that just has a water slide?
No.
Look at me, dude. You can't put me in a water. They'll call the cops if I start going on water slides.
You go to Hawaii, the hotels have water slides. It's great.
Okay.
Anyway, we got a bunch of release dates at E3, and now we know what our fall gaming schedule looks like.
Yeah.
We're gonna lay it all out here. Sam he put together his own list. He went way above and beyond and put down games that are coming in 2018. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. My goal was just to cover fall 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to compare 2017 to 2018, but honestly, we know a lot more about 2017 anyway.
Yeah. So where do you think we should start in covering fall games? I went all through August,
that's right.
But I know August is like a gray area. It's like
I think August is the fall to me.
Yeah,
August. You want to start just do all of
games,
August,
right?
Yes. Well, the leaves are turning. School is getting to a start, and the children are sad.
That sounds like fall to me.
But that's okay, children, because on August 2nd, Tacoma comes out.
Nice. Yeah.
You know what kids, middle schoolers, fresh back to school love? Spacewalking simulators.
Makers of Gone Home are taking the walking simulator into space.
Yes.
Is it a floating simulator now?
No, you don't float. It's all gravities. Well, there's a little bit of floating, but then you get the good gravities.
Yeah, I've seen people
walking.
It's all gravities?
Well, you got a lot of gravities.
All the different types of gravities.
Yeah. Heavies. Lights. But yeah, this is exciting. This was one of the games where they said the Xbox console exclusive launch. And I asked Steve Gaynor what that means. He's like, it'll eventually come to PS4. It's just
okay.
That day is coming to PC. And
pretty much every other
exclusive Xbox game for a time period.
On August 8th, two games, Hellblade, the next one from the Heavenly Sword, Ninja Theory?
Ninja Theory, yeah.
And Lawbreakers, Cliff Bleszinski's Lawbreakers comes out that day. August 15th.
That game has no gravity in it.
There's no gravity.
You're right. There's gravity bubbles.
You can manipulate gravity. All games have some form of gravity.
I don't think anybody really knows a lot about gravity.
Asteroids does not have gravity.
That's true.
It has propulsion.
Yeah, that's true.
On August 15th, three games: Agents of Mayhem, the next, not Saints Row, but Saints Row.
Yeah.
Matterfall from Housemarque. Waiting for a long time. Yeah. On PS4 and Sonic Mania comes up. Sonic Mania is the retro.
2D. Yeah, the 2D one. Yeah.
Marty Siva's most anticipated game of
all
time.
Damon and I got to do the live show on that game. Yeah. That game looks really cool, actually.
It does look really cool.
Did you guys do the boss fight?
We got to see the boss fight.
Yeah, we got to see
that. I like that.
Looks very intense. Yeah,
looks very cool. August 22nd is Uncharted The Lost Legacy, which looks very cool.
That's great. Yeah, super stoked for that.
That's awesome.
My top five games looking forward to for sure.
This year.
How you saw this game at E3, Marty? How big is this is it as big as Uncharted 4?
No. So they said it's like bigger than Uncharted 1, smaller than Uncharted 4.
Oh, weird.
I think it's great because
that's a cool comparison.
Yeah, I think Uncharted 4 is a little bit long in the tooth.
Did they say 10 hours?
I think that.
Do I remember reading that?
It's been tossed around.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that was like one of our main complaints about Uncharted 4, at least a couple of us here, was that it was just a little long.
Yeah.
I think 10 hours is a perfect sweet spot.
Yeah, and the relationship between Chloe and Aiden seems really cool.
It's $40, right?
It's $40.
And it's taking it back to like a tropical temple.
Yeah, it takes place all across India.
Nice.
India. Well, that's good to know. All right.
I don't know if that counts as tropical.
Scoops.
Yep, the most tropical place there was.
A lot of gravity there.
Yeah, incredible amounts of gravity. Huge.
Sports fans should look forward to August 25th when Madden 18 and F1 2017 come out on the
Madden
same
18.
Day.
Big day.
It's racing versus football.
Those incredibly different things.
Madden's got the story mode with Scott Porter that seems like Friday Night Lights, which apparently doesn't have football, which I'm really, I want to play a Madden story mode where you don't play football.
Wait, what? Really?
Like, the story mode, I think they said, is like an adventure game.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Then
I'm into that.
They described it as Telltale-like adventure game.
Wow.
You'll have, choices. Coach Brown will remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm totally into that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, August 29th is a key date, Scoop listeners, for 2017. I want to keep this date in your mind, August 29th, because we get Absolver, Cul-de-Sept Revolt, which me and three other people are looking forward to that. Everybody's Golf and Mario plus Rabbids.
Okay, so Everybody's Golf is the next Hot Shots golf game.
Right.
Andrew was in the beta and adores it. And it's like open world golf, because he went to Japan to play it, and they were like, flew all the way here. And it's like open world golf, to where you actually walk in between the holes, and you can go fishing, and you can just
there's
like side quests.
You can just get in a golf cart. Holes.
Technically, all golf is open world then, right?
It's very
just
weird.
Walk
that,
into a lake. Go for it.
If you're playing that game and somebody comes in, you're like fishing and someone walks in and they're like, what are you playing? You're like, everybody's golf. I caught a largemouth bass. Like, all right.
Yeah. No, there's like, it's a multiplayer game, so all these other people are there on the golf course with you, and you can just get in a golf cart and pick people up in your golf cart, and then you drive around and go treasure hunting.
I think this is great.
And everybody's golf.
You know what's insane? One of the things they learned in Japan is Hot Shots Golf and Gran Turismo are the only two first-party Sony franchises that have appeared on all four home consoles.
And portables.
And portables, yeah. That's crazy, right?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And that discounts Gran Turismo.
No, it's Gran Turismo and...
Well, no, but it's Gran Turismo hasn't gone portable.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but golf
has it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not on Vita. Yeah.
And I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by Mario plus Rabbids.
Me too.
Yeah.
That game plays totally fine. I was very skeptical. Marty was really skeptical. Did you get to try it out?
I didn't get to try it out, but it's much more complex than I thought it would be.
We had him on our live show, and we did like a 25-minute deep dive on the game. And I think it's like what helped was that this game leaked so often was that we were sort of desensitized to the whole idea of it.
The negativity came out ahead of it.
Yeah.
If Miyamoto had come out on the Ubisoft stage, and this was our first warning of this, and they showed that art and Peach doing the rabbit selfie, and she has fleas and rabies and other rabbit diseases, we would all thrown up. But by then, we were like...
I was out of jokes, so I had to give it a fair shake.
By then, I was like, this sounds cool. And then I started hearing about some of the people working on the music and all the
Grant Kirkhope,
which is awesome. And the art, it's like probably the prettiest looking, like graphics wise, of any of the Mario games we've seen yet. Like the texture work is phenomenal. I'm not a fan of that big white Donkey Kong rabbit.
Oh, I didn't like that man at all.
I thought that was pretty cool.
It's so scary.
What did you see that there's warp pipes that are white and you go in them and they have rabbit ears on the front and a rabbit tail on the back, so you're going through the butt?
What is there's it? A, you got like this thing, whole you talk. Got butts on the mind today.
Yeah, butts and the white pipes. You got to stop.
You said butt first. What are we going to cover next?
There's also that toilet duck with a S&M choker collar on. That's a real thing in that thing.
Kinky. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you pass it in the demo.
I asked about it in the demo, and they were like, we're not really ready to talk about Bowser's involvement yet. And I was like, ooh, scoops.
Ooh. So if there's a rabid Donkey Kong, is there a rabid Bowser?
Apparently, yeah.
Right.
I didn't see rabid Bowser. When I did the demo at Ubisoft, one of the developers was there giving it, and they're a team from Italy. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
I think so. Interesting.
And he said he had worked for their local official Nintendo magazine, and his whole life he had wanted to work on a Nintendo game, and their company like pitched this to Nintendo, and they worked together on it. And he was like so excited talking to a developer instead of PR or anybody that about the game that they're excited for, like that sold me on it.
Yeah, and I thought like one of the sweetest moments of the show was when Miyamoto like totally called him out in the audience and he was like tearing up, and then people made a shirt that said "Don't cry, Ubisoft man."
Yeah,
and then he tweeted out a picture of him wearing the shirt of him crying that said "Don't cry."
And I took that tweet and put it on a shirt.
it just shows to show you that like we criticize games, but never the people that make them. And these people that are making these games are like
way more
so excited about the games they're making.
I was totally hating on that game before we actually saw it, and now it looks really cool.
Also, it has 250 guns in it.
No, it
doesn't. That's not fake. Yes, it has 250 guns.
250 more guns than Mario has ever had.
Well, Miyamoto was like, he cannot jump in this game because jumping is my thing.
My thing.
So what can you do? And they're like, guns. Everyone ever me.
The last game of August is Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Yep.
Episode 1.
Saw a lot of that game.
Yeah. Episodic 1, yeah. Getting into September 5th, NAC 2. Check out the IGN first on NAC 2 today on IGN.com.
I'm excited.
Me too. You want to do a call? Let's play that one?
Yeah, let's be NAC buds.
Let's do that.
Did you play enough of NAC to know like what could make NAC a little bit more fun?
Yeah, just more fun. The first NAC was cool tech, but it wasn't fun. So if you just include fun mechanics.
Okay, so you have to add more fun to
make
it more
fun. You just have to add fun.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. There's parts of that game, like even the design and stuff is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like all the parts coming together and stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't very fun.
Yeah.
September 6th is Destiny 2 for, I guess, PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
Boom.
Doesn't come to PC till later. September 12th is PES 2018 for all of you soccer fans. September 14th is Divinity Original Sin 2. And I like the first game a lot.
But this one's super fun.
I played it on console. So this is probably the PC release. Yeah. And console will be coming later.
Yeah, I played it on console soon.
Although they just announced today that Pillars of Eternity is coming to console.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's great.
I like some old school isometric RPG action. September 15th is another key day, dear listeners. That's the day that Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, and Metroid Return of Samus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
When is this? September
15th.
That's awesome. You know what I love about that is like we didn't know there was a new Metroid game a week ago. And now we know we're getting one, and we know exactly that we're getting it soon. I'm super excited for that game.
Yeah, they
and
told
I know you both got to check it out at E3, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, Metroid 2 is like, I really loved that game growing up. It hasn't aged well because,
It's slow and black and white.
Yeah,
and
it's missing a map. And but they've added a ton of really cool stuff to it. It's apparently on NVC a couple years ago, we did like a Metroid retrospect. And at the end of the episode, I was like, what they should do is take Metroid 2 and put it on 3DS with a map and a bunch of new features. Anyway, bye. And then they did. So you're welcome, everyone.
That demo was really funny. Did you play it behind closed doors?
No, they were on our live show though. They played it in front of me, which is
I did like a half an hour with
slightly
it.
Torturous.
And it was really cool to play, and it feels like a Metroid. Everybody should be excited for this game because it feels like a Castlevania Metroid style game.
Okay,
well, it's made fast.
It's
it
made
has
by
all the stuff to explore.
Mercury Steam,
who has made a Castlevania game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And like, but the difference is that Sakamoto-san is working on this game as the Metroid 2D producer.
Yeah.
So it's like they made like a Castlevania game without like Iga really involved. There wasn't really a lot of Castlevania Konami knowledge of that. And they did an okay job. But with like Nintendo's involvement in this, I think it's going to be super good.
Yeah.
And like for me, like it doesn't seem like Metroid 2 at all. Like, it's its own game.
Yeah.
I mean,
Metroid 2 is such an old, simple game.
But I feel the same way about Zero Mission, too. Like, yeah there's some layout, but everything's changed. Totally. They changed every single aspect of it.
Yeah, I think what people forget with Metroid 2 is that it's different than the other ones, right? Like, the crux of that game is being a bounty hunter. Mm-hmm. It is hunting
down. You kill all the Metroids.
Yeah, you have to hunt down, like, 40-something Metroids, and they're everywhere, but you don't know where they are because everything's green, and there's no map. So having that and pulling it into this and then adding boss fights and save points and maps and
power-ups,
that weird like dynamic camera that is very one of the better ideas taken from other M. It's really smart and I'm super excited for it.
Yeah,
totally. I'm blanking. Does the original Metroid have a map?
Nope.
It wasn't until
Super Metroid. It did. It just had,
I mean,
it was in Nintendo Power.
Yeah. Well, was that in the official player's
game?
Hit Icarus has maps for the temples when you pause it.
Only if you buy a piece of paper and a pencil in the game. I'm not making that up. And a torch so you can see the piece of paper and pencil.
And you need a credit card.
And a credit card, yeah.
You don't need the credit card, but you can buy a credit card.
You have no idea how good you have it.
What a goofy game.
Speaking of Iga, he was on our show.
He had a whip and a hat.
He brought a whip. Shocking. Got our picture taken with him. Yeah. And he seemed like he was very excited about the whip.
He was gung-ho.
Yeah, it was really awesome to see Bloodstain on our show that early. The game's got a long way to go, and I think it's, like, historically, we don't really see games at that point, especially in a situation like that. But with the fact that this was kickstarted, I think he kind of felt like he wanted to bring something out to the people who are looking forward to it. And every time we see this game, it gets better and better. It's coming more and more along. It doesn't feel like, I mean, if you look at like Mighty No. 9, right? That had the opposite effect where every time we saw it, it got worse. Yeah. But Bloodstain, I'm like, oh, they're honing into the art style. They're populating the world more. The character's moving a little quicker.
It's awesome.
Go check out that interview. It was really fun.
All right. September 19th is Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, which I don't know if fighting fans are really stoked about it. I know there's all sorts of, the art is like pretty messed up in that game.
Yeah, and I feel like the 2D fighter that stole the show this year was the Dragon Ball one.
That looks amazing.
Yeah.
Just looks like the show.
That game is so cool looking.
It's stupidly gorgeous. Like, it legitimately looks like the cartoon.
The big question with MVC is finding out what's happening with the X-Men license. Because
you still haven't seen the right? Classic characters.
Yeah. So I mean there's hints that they're gonna appear in some capacity.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that they'll be like a spin-off mode type thing. Because I don't know if just having them interact with everybody else is legal. You're seeing the same stuff with the movies now. It's a minefield and it's a mess. It's why Venom's getting his own movie, but Spider-Man can't be in it. But
it's
Carnage
so
can.
Weird. Capcom was famous for Street Fighter and a really great X-Men game, really early on. Yeah. And then they made their X-Men Children of the Atom fighter, and it's like all that stuff was so
in
cool.
That mode, every round begins with "That's not canon."
Wolverine
comes out and fights Spider-Man. That's not canon.
Well, that's fine. I'm okay with that. You know, like I want to see Arthur from Super Ghouls and Ghosts and Mega Man fight Logan.
Mega Man, that's arm canon.
That's arm cannon.
All right. Settle down, everybody. That same day is NBA 2K18. September 22nd is Project Cars 2. They made a second one. They made a sequel. September 26th is that gosh darn Rompa V3.
Dang gone Rompa.
Andrew loved it. To the shock of no one.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yep. Big fan.
Oh, yeah. Those games are apparently good. I haven't played them. September 28th is Totally War Warhammer 2.
Total War.
Totally War.
And September 29th is Cuphead, finally.
Oh, my God.
It's pronounced Cuphead.
And FIFA 18 is that same day, which also has a story mode.
Yeah.
And the Madden guys did not appreciate me asking them if they got the idea to add the story mode to Madden because of FIFA, because they said they've been working on it for 4 years.
Okay.
All right.
That's before soccer was invented.
Yeah,
they've been working on the story mode for 4 years. Like Uncharted 4 didn't even have a 4-year dev cycle.
Getting into October. October 3rd is Battle Chasers Night War, something I'm not familiar with, but apparently is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a classic style RPG.
Yeah. It's art by Joe Madd, the comic book artist who did Darksiders as well.
And the gameplay is more like 16-bit RPGs, mm-hmm. I think, like Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, that sort of stuff. Forza 7 is also that same day, October 3rd.
Lots of races.
October 6th is Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga plus Bowser's Minions. That's the full title of the
Rolls
game,
right off the tongue,
I think.
What's
so these
deal
are
that
the
game?
3DS it's remakes remake. Of the GBA games, of two GBA games.
But they added Bowser's Minions.
Is that another game? Or is that
no, I think it's part of the title.
Wait, is that actually... But did they just combine two games? Like,
no, because
Mother
the first one is Superstar Saga, and the second one is something else, and then there's Bowser's Inside Story.
Yeah.
Wait, is Bowser's Minions actually with Minions? Because they put the rabbits in that other game.
We're going to have to research this one. I missed this because it was during a Treehouse announcement while I was doing an interview, and I just haven't caught up. So, scoop.
October 10th is Shadow of War.
Looks very cool.
Oh man, yeah.
Really stoked for that game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was sort of
heck yeah.
I was sort of whatever about it because some of the stuff we saw early on wasn't too crazy for me.
You're not that crazy about Lord of the Rings.
I'm not crazy about Lord of the Rings, but which is kind of why I love the last game, because it's really, I could skip the Gollum cutscenes or whatever and just throw bees at orcs. But this game, like, we saw this like 20-minute demo of them taking over a fortress, and it's just madness. Like, there's dragons and like rancors and bees and fart bags and all this other fun stuff.
Sounds like you'd be more of a Hobbit movie fan.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch any of those, so thanks.
Don't watch the Hobbit. Those are going to turn you off to Lord of the Rings.
Also, rancors, incredible. I didn't realize it made their way to that.
They're rancor-ish, and the dragons are called drakes. I don't know what you guys are doing over there in that Lord of the Rings garbage, but it's real
trust me, none of that's from Lord of the Rings. What is the deal with the dragon in that? Did they explain that at any time?
It's cool, so they put him in the game.
Thought it'd be cool.
Dragons cool.
You can't just ride dragons in that universe. That's silly.
Actually,
silly.
That's not canon.
October 13th, Friday the 13th, is The Evil Within 2. I know I did not play the first game. The trailer that they showed at Bethesda's conference did nothing to...
Yeah, that was 100% cinematic.
This was a confusing mess.
I don't know what the game is.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to be a third-person...
What if it's a Metroidvania?
I really don't think it is. The trailer was... I played the first game, and that trailer was incomprehensible to me.
Right.
But I'm excited, because
I love the first game.
We love Shinji Mikami, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like survival horror, you guys tell me if it's good when it comes out. That same day, Nintendo's long-running horror series, Fire Emblem Warriors... comes out.
And that's the Dynasty Warriors, the Musou one.
Yeah.
I played that.
Mm-hmm. And
it's not for me.
Yeah.
Those games, I don't know who they're for. I mean, you really do so little in them. You just kind of swat a sword and then you have a bigger and bigger attack.
Yeah.
I gave the Zelda one a try, being like, at the bare minimum, I love this license and I love this stuff that I'll unlock here. And I just couldn't get into that gameplay. I get it. It's a little too mindless for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. October 17th is South Park, The Fractured Butthole. Mm-hmm. Finally.
Yeah.
The game looks really fun.
Yeah.
Responsible for one of the most insane live shows I think we've ever done during E3.
I watched you do that one.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know there was a
graphic.
Yeah, there's a little boy grinding on an adult man's jock area. A mini game that you control. And if you do it right without farting on his lap... you can roofie his friends with drinks.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some bodily fluid humor in that.
This was like 10
a.m.? That kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they're getting away with a lot.
At 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're really getting away with a lot. So import that game. If you live in a country that censors things, import that game, because you're not going to get the version we're getting.
And October 24th is the day Destiny 2 comes to PC, and that version looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Very, very pretty. And that brings us to October 27th, which is probably the most important day of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
For us. That is the day Assassin's Creed Origins and Wolfenstein 2 and Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, man.
All come out.
Why?
If one of these games doesn't get delayed, this is probably the best day for games in 5-6 years. Because I remember there was that Portal Kombat day where Portal 2 and the good Mortal Kombat reboot came out.
Right. Guys, I think Wolfenstein's going to get buried.
It was also Fallout.
But it could also have
Fallout Tomb Raider
like,
Day.
Yeah.
We'll get to this in just a moment, but currently there are no games scheduled for December. So maybe we can play Wolfenstein 2 in December.
Yeah.
I'm excited for all three of those games.
Yeah.
Mario Odyssey was my game of the show. Yep. Unbelievably excited for that. And I think Assassin's Creed Origins looks really cool. I like the good Assassin's Creed games. So
the Black Flag game sort of has a sense of fun to them.
Yeah. To me, the Mario Odyssey is the clear winner here. The other two can take a kind of distant second. I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah. I think sales-wise, AC will probably outsell either of the other two just based on the fact that it's on three platforms.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the thing is, like, we got 20 Assassin's Creed games. They took a year off. This is our second Wolfenstein game in 3 years. We haven't had a 3D open world Mario game in 15 years. Like, this is special. I'm jumping on this one.
At least.
No pun intended. Yeah. Bing Rain.
That's
2017.
That's Miyamoto's thing. Deal.
Getting into November. November 3rd is Call of Duty World War II. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have heard, but they're going back to... No, I'm not even going to say it. November 7th is the Xbox One X.
Butts on the ground. Is that what you're going to say?
Butts on the ground. No, that's also Mario's thing, actually. November 7th is Xbox One X and Crackdown 3.
Any of you guys buying that on day one?
No.
No?
I don't plan on buying an Xbox One X.
At all?
I mean,
yeah. My thing was if
I don't
they,
have a 4K television yet.
I do, and if they can highly incentivize some sort of trade-in program with the Xbox One, I think that'll help lessen the blow a little bit. Mm-hmm. But right now, the launch lineup isn't really jumping at me as something that I absolutely need.
It's like, and also, you know, both Horizon Zero Dawn and Zelda Breath of the Wild look absolutely gorgeous on my TV for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never once playing those games was I wish this looked a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I wish I could pay $500 for these games to look a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, I played Horizon in on a PS4 Pro on a 4K HDR television, and I wasn't like, not good enough.
Yeah.
I
was like, where's my checkerboards?
Yeah. My checkerboards. I'm also not the biggest Forza guy, but I bought an Xbox One on day one, and I hope this thing succeeds. I want to see more 4K content for everybody.
Yeah.
It's a great sort of bar to raise across the entire industry.
Yeah. I'm not getting a day. I don't have a 4K TV, but I think the actual design of the box is incredible.
It's a good looking
thing. The fact that it's smaller
than
the 1S.
There's no Kinect.
Yeah.
They wouldn't quantify exactly how much smaller it is. So it's like a millimeter smaller or something, but still impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see who buys this specifically because we don't know official sales numbers on the Xbox One. And we do know on the PlayStation 4. We also know from Sony that 1 out of 5 PlayStation sold since last November when the PS4 Pro launched has been a Pro model, right? So that's 1 in 5. Now, say the Xbox One sold, 30 million? That's kind of being generous, right? Maybe. Like, I think the PS4...
Yeah, I think PS4 is just hit 60.
That'd be a little bit less, around half of what PS4 sold.
So let's say it sold 30 million, and 1 in 3 of those people went and bought a Xbox One X, which still I haven't figured out how to say exactly.
Once.
Then that means that system can sell or can maybe go on to sell 10 million.
You really messed this up.
No, I'm just trying to think. Like, how many units can this thing actually move worldwide?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And like,
if the same proportion of the audience buys it as Sony's audience is buying the Pro.
That would be 1 in 5, yeah. So that's, if my guess was 1 in 3, which is significantly higher than 1 in 5. I don't know. We'll see. I think that's like, it's unless they reach an entire new audience of like PC gamers who haven't jumped in on consoles, because you can't make a PC this powerful for $500. People are trying right now, and it's impossible.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
You know, it just occurred to me, I might actually pick this up, because I keep forgetting that Xbox One keeps displaying in like 900p and 720p. Games aren't 1080p for it, where they are for the PlayStation.
Right.
So though I wouldn't upgrade to the Pro, even with my current television, I'd at least get 1080 out of and 1080-60 out of some games now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is actually tempting for me, because in this office, in my life, it is much easier to get our library access to Xbox games than it is to PlayStation games.
We got a lot of questions.
So I always play Xbox games. Yeah. Yeah. So like, maybe getting them up to 1080p is worth $500.
We got a lot of questions on Beyond from people when the PS4 Pro launched, which was like, I don't have a 4K TV, but I have a 1080p TV.
Yeah.
Is it still worth getting? And it was like, well, yeah, with storage space and with...
And there's those graphical upgrades.
Yeah, you can...
Which aren't 4K, they're the other ones.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get it.
I mean, a new console is launching this year. That's two, actually. Yeah. That's very fascinating.
Yeah. I want to get that Kinect out.
Oh, yeah. I ripped that thing out years
ago. It's just like bundled up in a drawer. Like, if I can, maybe that's worth getting.
Eat it to neighborhood dogs.
Yeah, I would just put it in the garbage, honestly.
I found an Xbox 360 on the street near my house with controllers and its hard drive and everything. Weird. And I was like, I remember like coveting that system.
Yeah.
And like being like, I'll never be able to afford it. And then like finally getting one used and playing like really stupid early games on Perfect Dark.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark Zero?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect Dark Zero. And I can't
now you just find them on the street?
Yeah. With like perfectly good controllers.
Yeah.
People seem a little underwhelmed with Crackdown 3.
Everything, I didn't get to play it, but everyone who played it said, visually it was underwhelming, but it played incredibly.
That's awesome.
People seem to just be stoked to run around that giant.
It didn't show well in the conference, and that's all I saw of it at E3.
Yeah, the footage looks really good.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway was, like, where is the destructible environment?
We were promised.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently,
Destin's playground of destruction. Yeah.
Are they there? They just didn't focus on that?
They said
trailer,
it's only
or?
In multiplayer.
Weird.
Which is weird, because it almost seems the opposite.
Yeah.
But like, how would they maintain continuity?
The cloud, Sam, the cloud.
I think in the single player game, if you could go around and destroy all the buildings, then that would present like a problem.
I think I asked them a very dumb question. I was like, if there's an orb on top of a skyscraper and you knock down a skyscraper, does the orb fall on your hands? And they're just like, well, how did you get this job? Why are you here?
Throw a hat at the orb.
It's like chopping down a banana tree.
On November 10th, Need for Speed Payback is out. And that game actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that game looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm so into that game.
And also that same day, Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
They choke out the Pokemon-like aspect of it.
Did they?
Yeah.
I haven't really been following it.
You don't collect little demons anymore. You just do JRPG fights.
I don't know, Pokemon as little
out of all the things you'd change in that, well, I don't know why you would change that. That was like the what set it apart.
Yeah.
What made it unique. Besides the graphical style, which is still awesome.
Yeah.
November 14th is LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2. And finally, the last big release day of the year so far is November 17th with Battlefront 2 and Pokemon Ultra Sun and Moon.
Mm-hmm. Huge cool. Day. Yeah, some people think there's a couple games that didn't get like a 2017 or a 2018 release date. So some people think like Days Gone didn't have a year after it.
Yeah.
So I think it might currently be like, maybe we can get this out in 2017, but we don't want
to. That game felt way out to me.
Did it? Yeah.
Well, you saw the same demo.
Yeah.
People also were underwhelmed with that, it seems like, with Days Gone.
Yeah, I think in comparison to stuff like God of War and Detroit and Spider-Man especially.
Yeah. I'm interested in Days Gone. I just don't know where. Like it's just a weird one because it's got elements of a lot of other first party Sony games, but yeah, to me it's all about the story, right? Like if there's an interesting story, if there's cool side characters, like when I think about The Last of Us, I know the combat in that game was awesome and the pacing was awesome, but it was the characters that stuck with me the most.
Totally.
And then I think there's two things that are 2017 but without dates, and it's the Horizon DLC, the Frozen.
Oh, didn't they say it was like
the winter? I think they said 2017. And then GT Sport.
Yeah. Wait. Didn't they announce a release date for that?
I know it's 2017. I don't know if they gave an exact date. Maybe you're announcing that.
We said that. Battlefront 2. I'm crazy excited for that game.
Yeah. Dude, the feed stuff looks so good. The multiplayer stuff.
Yeah. I love a lot of the stuff in the prequels. I don't think they're good movies, but I think that like there's a ton of great ideas in them.
The droid design is cool.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Metroids.
And I have nostalgia for like being excited for those movies.
Me too.
And knowing everything about them at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's just so many characters they can like reach for in these modes, and I can't wait to see what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm mostly excited about that single player mode.
Yep.
So I was a little disappointed that they didn't show us anything of that.
Just the BCB
at EA's conference.
Yeah. The footage. Yeah.
Hey, you guys saw that though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it looked cool. Looked fun.
Yeah, I saw it too. There's a really neat, you see a glimpse of this, and there's probably more about it out now, but like the Emperor has like some kind of recording on that like robot.
Yeah, the surrogate like phantom robot that has his hologram face.
But then the Emperor's recording like in the cutscene we saw turns off, and it like is like an aggressive
robot.
Droid robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really
pretty cool.
It's like, you're not authorized to see that or something like that. It's really funny. And then, like, it feels like Battlefront. Like, you know, you go through corridors and you shoot stuff, and you have to shoot three different things in the corridor. Like, it's not Uncharted.
Okay.
Well. The cutscenes could make up a lot for that.
I see. Interesting. All right, that is a look at your 2017 fall 2017 gaming agenda. Lots of good stuff.
Busy, man.
Fall. Yeah. Yikes.
Excited. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Just like Louis Nick from Montreal did. Or maybe it's Louis Nick. Maybe
a little French Canadian.
Maybe. He says, with the E3 dust slowly settling, I was curious to hear your perspective on those companies who decided to deliver their showcase presentation early before E3. Do you believe that Microsoft, EA, and Bethesda got any advantage from going first during the weekend, or were they ultimately submerged by the E3 noise, which really picked up Monday morning? So EA went first.
I hate to say it, but I think it helped EA.
I was going to say, EA went... earliest of all.
Hate to say it because like it was hard for us to cover 3 days of conferences this year.
Yeah, I mean it was a lot for us, but I do think EA got a nice bump. Battlefront 2, that was already a highly anticipated game, but it got a whole extra day all to itself to sort of build momentum. And that was what, if it wasn't the most popular game on IGN, it was one of the top three.
It was
and
number
they
one.
Introduced
number
Anthem,
one most popular game,
which became like our third most popular game on IGN.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the new BioWare game.
And just having that little peek at it, even though we saw more of it later, was like a big deal to have a lead on it. I think it helped them
and
a lot.
Bethesda, the same thing. Like that night after their conference, everyone was talking about Wolfenstein and Evil Within, and that had like a solid 15 hours until Ubisoft's conference. It sort of gave everything time to breathe.
Yeah, it was really interesting this year. I remember a couple years ago, you remember the the handshake with Adam Boy's scene at the,
at
the end of Sony's conference felt like a direct shot at the Microsoft conference we had seen a few hours before. It was very WWF, right? But this year felt like Sony didn't even acknowledge anything that Microsoft was doing. Microsoft's like, we got this $500 console. It does like true 4K, this, and this. I thought Sony would be like, oh, now's our chance to price drop the Pro, price drop our entire suite of everything, mm-hmm. price drop PSVR, really double down on that and give consumers a good value. And they were like, no, we're fine. We're just going to do our theater show and then go to bed.
Like, go to bed.
Yeah. Do we think Microsoft gained anything by going a day earlier?
I think they got a lot. I think there was a lot more focus on them, which was good for them because they needed it, right? They needed... I mean, the thing is, you have to keep in mind with these press conferences, they are worked on for like 3 to 6 months. They are rehearsed. Like, I've talked to people who work directly on these things on all sides.
Yeah, we've heard 6 months.
And it's, and it's like they are practicing. They're going, like, I heard from people who are like, I've seen the show 4 times now. It's a really good one, blah, blah, blah. So it's really fascinating to see it actually come together. And that's why it's so devastating when there's like a hiccup in one of them or a technical flub like Sony had in the first few minutes of theirs. But I think it was good for them to keep it, to be like, this is our afternoon. And then I believe what we got, Bethesda that evening, right?
Yeah. It was late that evening.
It was late that evening, which already felt like a different day, but.
Yeah, Bethesda, it's the same day as last year, just going a little bit later, but I thought their showing was pretty light this year.
Yeah.
Probably didn't need a whole, I mean, they didn't even do any like sort of live gameplay demos or anything. It was
hard to watch for anybody that wasn't in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it started at midnight on the East Coast. Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, they just have a lighter lineup this year, but they're, you know, this is the third time they've had their press conference. They don't want to like stop doing it and take a year off. So they're just like,
there's the expectation.
It
felt shorter too, right?
It was like a half hour long.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was absolutely shorter.
Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Microsoft was 90 minutes. they told everyone going in like this is going to be a longer show. So
did we get a date on Skyrim Switch?
No,
I don't think so. No. You know, Link is in it. Well, not Link in it, but his costume.
That was really funny.
Yeah,
I love that reveal.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of miss that Tuesday, right, where we had Microsoft and Sony historically. It was like, I feel like just the energy from just people watching, consumers, from the press covering it, from everybody, was very high historically on that day. And now it's just sort of been spread out.
Yeah, it's spread out.
Yeah.
I don't like it being spread out over so many days. I liked it when it was like
from a coverage perspective,
Microsoft and EA and Ubisoft and Sony all the same day.
Yeah. Dude, that was awesome. So fun. Yeah, I missed that. I honestly missed that. That was like... It's our longest day of the year, but it's the most high energy, and you're fueled by just the passion of what you're seeing. And
was Nintendo ever on the same day?
I want to say no.
I think they were traditionally.
They're usually Tuesday morning, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, so to correct what I just said, Monday was the day where they used to jam everybody in there.
But. This is Jonathan from Virginia. He said, I enjoyed watching Sony's press conference at this year's E3, but I felt what many media commentators expressed, that it featured a number of great games but lacked a truly exciting reveal. Monster Hunter can have a niche audience. Shadow of the Colossus looks amazing, but is also a PS2 game that many people have already played. Given that last year, Sony chose to save its big reveals from Uncharted and Last of Us for PlayStation Experience, do you think they kept their biggest reveals this year for PSX to keep more focus on promoting their own brand? Is PSX becoming more of an important show for Sony?
And Gamescom.
Yeah.
Sony
didn't have like a conference at Gamescom last year.
Not last year, but
they have in the past. Have,
yeah, I feel like now with PSX, Sony's sort of going to skip Gamescom and focus solely on PSX, which, you said last year Naughty Dog had not one but two reveals.
Yep.
And I think this year was mostly about those teases that we got last year of God of War, of Spider-Man, not of Death Stranding, but of Days Gone, sort of going a little bit deeper into those games and showing us, you know,
Did we see less of God of War gameplay this year than we saw last year?
Yeah, it was about a 12-minute chunk last year, whereas this was a 5-minute montage.
That's
yeah.
so wacky, I mean, but I liked what I saw.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
I thought it'd be way farther along, but...
A lot of the stuff we saw last year was sort of set the tone. It showed us the world. It showed us the character interaction. This, we got straight up like... You know, we saw a boss fight last year. Yeah. This year, we got like, this is what your day-to-day combat's going to look like.
Yep.
Or one day, since it all takes place in one shot.
Yeah.
But they were like, here's what it's going to be like to fight like the average, you know, enemies on the ground.
And here's a variety of different locales you'll be going to.
Like, from a gameplay perspective, was actually a lot more revealing than last year's was, because it showed us this is not QTE-based. This is like, you can still use those like short and long attacks and quick and
magic.
So, I'm into it, man.
Yeah.
This is Rodney from Toronto. He says, now that E3 is over, there are three things I'm super curious about based on what we have and haven't seen. Number one, EA opened talking a lot about Battlefield 1, and with Battlefront taking up a lot of resources at DICE at the moment, do you think we will continue to see a Battlefield game every 2 years now? Yeah, they're not going to
get it. I think they'll swap front, field, front, field, front, field. I think, that's what we expect.
I believe they actually, I think they confirmed that a couple months ago, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised because we'll get the DLC, something of the Czar this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I bet next year we'll get whatever the proper follow-up is.
Which I really dig, like, as opposed to getting, you know, like, we get a Call of Duty every single year. It's from a different team, from the three teams that alternate. But I love it. Also, selfishly, it means that I get a new Star Wars game every 2 years, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. Three words that EA did not mention once during its press conference was Titanfall, Mass Effect.
Yeah,
didn't mention either of those things.
And they did say with Titanfall that, you know, they had plans. They said, I believe earlier in the year, that they had long plans for that franchise. I don't think it's going anywhere.
Too bad. But Titanfall 2 is really good.
Titanfall 2 is really good. It almost seems like it was sent to die last year.
Too bad.
It was.
And then there's another Star Wars game, which I can't wait to hear more about.
The Visceral one?
Yeah.
The Visceral one.
Yeah. I feel like that'll probably be a big deal next year.
So we could have Star Wars games every year, too. Even with
we know Respawn
that game is
one.
Taking a long
Respawn.
Time.
Yeah.
What's Respawn's one? Like, I mean,
we don't know. We know it's the creative director of God of War 3, and so we assume it's a third-person action game.
Yeah, that's really cool. So God of War 3 is at Visceral are the two things we know.
Rodney from Toronto's second question is, do you cops think Assassin's Creed will also be every 2 years now as well, allowing Ubisoft to do more cool stuff in the interim years like For Honor?
I hope so.
Yeah, So Assassin's Creed Origins is coming out this fall. If it's a big hit, are they back to annualizing that franchise?
I think next year we get Watch Dogs 3. I feel like those are going to be the two that flop. Flip-flop.
Oh, that flop. Sorry, I was like, oh, wow.
Flip-flop. Sorry.
Calling him off the dock.
I'm calling it now.
I'm for every franchise taking at least a year off. I can't think of a single franchise outside of sports that really benefit, and I don't even know if that needs to happen, but that really, truly benefit from being annualized. I don't think that, I mean, with Call of Duty, it's like you have, like I said, you have different teams working on it, so you can shake it up a little bit, but it's so hard to learn from the game in the year before when you're constantly playing catch up. Like, if the Call of Duty team can't be like, hey, WW2 did this well, because the guys working on the next year game already have that engine down. They already have that infrastructure down.
Yeah.
They're already significantly, you know, in on that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to see Assassin's Creed take a few years off.
Mm-hmm. I would like
GTA.
Yeah. Castlevania to go back to a yearly schedule.
Well, that's a different story. Yeah. But even though they run out of steam by the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Ecclesia is so good.
No, Ecclesia. Well, that's with the anime art.
Yeah.
I like anime.
Where you play as the lady vampire hunter.
Yeah. I was cool.
Same with
that.
Portrait of Ruin. You're a lady in that one, too. And I think those games are both really good.
I don't even remember Portrait of Ruin. It's hard to keep them.
You go into paintings.
Wahoo.
And finally, Destiny 2. I know Destiny came out in September of 2014, but I feel surprised that Destiny 2 is already coming out. When do you think they started developing that game? It seems like such a massive amount of work to do in 3 years or less. I'm worried it will suck. Thoughts? I think
3 years.
3 years is a good amount of time for a big AAA.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably a small team at the start with 3 years ago, but I imagine the last year or two, almost all the resources have gone on to this.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, you know, they're very expensive and take a lot of work to make, but sequels, I think, are easier in terms of the world building is done.
Yeah, the core framework of the game is of an engine.
All your mechanics are there. Yeah. You can reuse some assets.
Yeah.
The whole games as a service moniker thing was like the thing we heard the most at E3 this year was every single franchise wants to be it. And Destiny has it down already. And I think with that, the expectation is they can ship a sequel that's not light on content, but not like the most robust thing in the world, because people will know that every couple of weeks or months they'll get more and more and more. That'll grow out. Yep. So I think that when you buy into Destiny 2 on day one, even if it doesn't have 100 hours of gameplay, you know it will by the end of the year, right?
Ubisoft's done a really good job of that with Rainbow Six, The Division, and For Honor, and Wildlands.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bungie used to deliver Halo games every 3 years. They didn't start that way, but it got that way with Halo 3 and Reach and 4.
ODST.
So, not, or sorry,
ODST?
ODST, that's what it's not for. I know that's a different team. But I'm not trying to say this to like say anything bad about Destiny, but it doesn't have like a big single player campaign with big CG cutscenes and this big story and everything. Like, it's just the multiplayer side of things. Yeah, like, right. That's 3 years of development.
Yeah, it seems like they might try to be doubling down with that on the sequel. Like, we've seen more sort of CG cutscenes and character moments.
Absolutely.
In Destiny 2's couple reveals than we have seemingly in Destiny 1.
I haven't heard them call out to me as a single player shooter person and say, like, you should come in and play this now.
So, totally.
Which is fine. Yeah, that's not what that game's about.
Brian, you're totally right about games as service. That's one of the major trends of this E3 and in the industry as a whole now. Everybody wants a piece of the games as service. That's what EA hopes Anthem will be. Of course, Microsoft had Anthem at its conference, and also stuff like PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds can be used as a game of service. Yeah. Ubisoft has stuff of course, For Honor, Rainbow Six, Siege, Division, all that stuff. And probably Skull and Bones. Probably
imagine Skull and Bones, that totally fits in there.
I mean, the interesting thing is, like, you look at a lot of these games. Yeah, I was going to say Splatoon and ARMS are two games that shipped kind of light on content and were dinged a little bit by some reviewers to an extent, but ultimately sell well and will continue to grow. But then you look at like Street Fighter V, and it was just too thin at launch, and there was a pretty big backlash against it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think it's about finding that sweet spot of how much is going to be there on day one and how much is coming within the next few weeks, and can they maintain momentum with that player base? It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Did you guys see that after E3, GameStop's stock tanked?
No.
Oh my.
Because so many of the big games at E3 are games of service.
Right.
And if people buy one game, take it home, and just play that one game forever, they're not going back to GameStop to buy more games.
Yeah.
So yeah, investors are a little bit worried about it.
I saw they struck a deal with Amazon right before E3 that was basically like, we'll give you Amazon credit if you trade in your games here. And it was GameStop. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because if you go to Amazon, people will learn that like you can just buy games there. They'll deliver them to you with Prime shipping on day one. I think they have like trade-ins there too. Like it's a whole thing. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see where that company is in a couple years.
Amazon will buy it.
You think so? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Now this is Peter from Denmark, and he has a controversial question. He wants to know, is Ubisoft bad for the game industry?
No.
That's his main question. He says, so E3 is over. Thank you, IGN, for a great week. You guys did an excellent job.
Welcome.
Ubisoft revealed some brand new games and the sequel to some familiar ones. However, in recent years, it seems like they are more interested in making platforms instead of making games the old school way. The Crew, The Division, and Steep's survivability all seem to depend on a regular player base. Games like Rainbow Six seem to have found a footing and is doing great, but For Honor has lost a big part of its players, and who knows how many will play it a year from now. Now, Skull and Bones has been revealed and seems to follow the same strategy of a semi-online world. Are all these games living on borrowed time depending on their success? 10 years from now, we might not even be able to play Skull and Bones alone, even though they say we can experience the game as a single-player experience. What do you think about this shotgun approach where some games take off and others are left behind, but in such a way you can't even play them a few years from now?
It's definitely an issue.
I mean, that is the thing about games as service. The service will probably be shut off someday.
Right.
Yeah, but also I don't think this is dangerous for them because arguably the three biggest games in the world are Minecraft, League of Legends, and Dota.
Right. It's also ignoring
the two best-selling games of the year are For Honor.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Wildlands.
And Wildlands.
Yeah.
It's ignoring the fact that they also make Watch Dogs, which doesn't operate under this.
And Far Cry.
And Assassin's Creed.
I mean, that they're teaming up with Miyamoto to make a Rabbids Mario game, which is not going to follow this at all.
Yeah.
So I think that if they were only making games like the ones he described, yes, I'm 100% with you. That's a problem. And it sucks to see games. That's why, like Sam was saying about like the single player in Destiny, right? Like, eventually one day they will close those servers, and then like, what is that disc? Mm-hmm. What is that game? But if they can keep both sides happy, like single player gamers like me who can sit down and play 25 hours of Watch Dogs and Far Cry, and then people who want to put 100 hours into The Division, you keep all those people happy. Like, that's important. That doesn't mean they're bad for the industry.
It seems like a good balance. And then they also ended the conference with the promise of a crazy Beyond Good and Evil 2 in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Here's what you know. You leave 4-player split-screen co-op in every game you make. Mm-hmm. And then you can just turn it on anytime experience the entire game as it was when you shut off your servers.
Squinting a little bit.
Like, you can put in Banjo-Tooie right now and play Mind Kickball with three of your friends. No problem. Or that's
probably don't want
first person
to do that.
Why would anybody want to do that?
We didn't want to at the time either, Brian.
No, to answer Peter from Denmark's question, I do not think Ubisoft is bad for the game industry. I think they're probably very good for it. Good for the industry. I think probably of the third-party publishers, I think they're probably my favorite, the best.
Yeah, I would say.
Very diverse lineup, everything from the family-friendly Just Dance to the totally vulgar South Park.
Yeah.
Family repellent.
And in between...
We've got South Park, that's right, yeah.
And in between that, you've got these super fun open-world games, Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and then this new games of service games. Like
I think
Rainbow
every
Six.
Few years, gamers sort of come together to sort of vilify or demonize a massive company.
EA being the worst company.
There's
legitimately evil companies.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm watching a story on TV about the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and I'm on Comcast customer support, and it's like, oh, EA won, huh? Why? They didn't have enough jerseys in Madden. It's like, no, there's really bad companies out there. Yeah. But Ubisoft, for the last few years, because I think there was the whole idea of they would put out trailers and then things would get downgraded from, and it just, the entire company got thrown under for it.
I think they learned from
some cool stuff, you know?
Yeah, I want them to go back to making UBR games.
Yeah,
those are really cool for that little spin.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, they make a lot of mistakes too.
Yeah.
Like they're not perfect. They're not.
And their VR stuff looked cool too. They had that Elijah Wood game.
They're leaning into them.
But what else did they did?
They did Eagle Flight.
They did Eagle Flight, which is their PSVR Star Trek game. Star Trek also.
Yeah.
They make
you
cool stuff.
Eagle Flight.
I loved Eagle Flight.
Yeah. Wow.
You did
single player. The single player is really cool.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Oh man, I love that game. That's a really good.
I did not play the single player.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, the single player is awesome. You're flying around Paris, you can crash
into
an elephant.
Really big fan of birds as well.
Crash into an elephant?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it takes place in a dystopian version of Paris where people are gone and animals have taken over, but it's friendly.
That sounds utopian.
Yeah,
actually. That sounds great, actually.
Oh, utopian.
all right, and finally, to catch up on some post-E3 news that broke this week, Blizzard is seemingly remastering Warcraft 3 and Diablo 2. We already know they're remastering Starcraft. That's coming soonish, I think.
Yeah.
But a job listing for a senior software engineer says compelling stories, intense multiplayer, endless replayability, qualities that made StarCraft, Warcraft 3, and Diablo 2 the titans of their day. Evolving operating systems, hardware, and online services have made them more difficult to be experienced by their loyal followers or reaching a new generation. We're restoring them to glory, and we need your engineering talents.
That's awesome.
That pretty much sounds like they're remastering Warcraft 3 and Diablo 2.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
And that's great, because I love Warcraft 3, but I've never played Diablo 2.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Here's hoping they come to consoles. Blizzard has been supporting consoles more
especially
recently.
Diablo 3.
Overwatch and Diablo 3, of course. Yeah. So, yeah.
Diablo 3 was
also
awesome.
Also buried in the announcements of E3, a new Star Wars pinball machine was announced.
Oh, really?
Stern.
Based on which movie? Or is it?
It's on the original trilogy.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Art doesn't look great on it, but it's original trilogy.
All right.
And it has a ramp that goes all the way around the playfield. The balls go around.
Excellent moment in a when the ball goes off the ramp.
And there's a Death Star that actually opens up as a toy and explodes. Should be cool. We'll get in the office. You guys will be able to see us play.
Did you see the news that Atari is going to announce new
hardware? What? What is going on?
Making a console, right?
Yeah, but that's all we know.
That's it. Atari's getting back in the console market.
But it's going to be like an NES Classic?
No, because they already announced one of those, too.
So it's not an Atari flashback.
I have a recommendation to don't do that.
Don't make a new console?
Don't do that.
And then Retron had a really cool Atari system at E3 that you can put cartridges in, and it plays on an HD screen. It looks really nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But yeah.
What a weird time.
Was it checkerboard?
They want to get back into the, from what they're saying, they want to make a console. So we'll try to get some scoops on that for y'all. Yeah.
What a time to be alive. And that brings us to Video Game 20 Questions.
Wow.
Our suggestion this week comes from Thomas in Kentucky. Let the questioning begin.
You got this.
What kind of games do Kentuckians like?
I don't know. That's we can start.
Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
After. We got a newsie.
Okay, so that's
it could be 17 years old, which isn't that new.
Was this game released after January 1st, 2010?
Yes.
Oh, we got a super newsie.
Got a 7 years.
A little baby game.
Is this a console exclusive?
Yes.
Ooh. Is this game the current gen of video games?
Yes.
Okay.
Sony?
What?
Wait.
I don't understand the question.
Is it a Sony console exclusive?
Apples?
Wait, I thought he meant it is exclusive only to consoles. I didn't get that it is a single console exclusive.
Well, you haven't narrowed it down that far.
Gotcha.
You're asking if it's a Sony console exclusive? Yes.
Ooh, it's probably that Brad Byrne or the Order or hashtag.
We guys, we can get this in six.
It's a current. It's a,
right now.
It's a current PS4 exclusive.
Did we guess PS4?
It's a Sony console exclusive from this current generation, which I believe means PS4.
Okay.
So Shadow of the Last Guardian.
Is this Japanese developed?
No.
Okay, so
it's not Bloodborne, not Last Guardian.
So Horizon, Ratchet and Clank,
Uncharted 4. Should we The Order?
Is this game a sequel?
No.
So this could be The Order or Horizon.
Or Horizon.
Or hashtag Drive Club.
Yeah.
Did this game come out in 2017?
No.
It's not Horizon. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's The Order.
I think it's got to be The Order.
Oh, unless it's like a weird downloadable game.
Oh, yeah.
It those freaky deekies.
Freaky deekies.
Yeah,
is this a weird downloadable game?
What did you say, Finnegan? No, it's Japanese. Mark Cerny. Suima-sen. Nack's Japanese. Goldfarb just spent like a month in Japan. Hanging out with those guys.
The famously Japanese
Mark Cerny. No. It could be Until Dawn.
Yeah, it could be a few games.
No, it's either Until Dawn.
We can start narrowing it down.
Until Dawn got a sequel, sort of.
But he said this was
is this game a sequel? I thought spin on what we normally do.
Is this game? Would you call this game survival horror?
Yes,
I believe it's Until Dawn, but I'm afraid to say it because I'm a little confident.
The Order is kind of survival horror-ish.
Oh, he wouldn't do that.
He might do that.
We can get it in 10, guys.
Did this game get a VR sequel?
Let's just guess Until Dawn.
Okay, you guess. I'm afraid.
Is this Until Dawn?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to get in 10. The first time ever.
10, yeah. No, woo! I think one time.
We've gotten it under 10.
Yeah, I got it under 10 before.
That was really good. You guys are amazing.
Woo. Until Dawn, released in 2015. Supermassive developer, published by Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got that, what was it called? The Impatient?
Yeah,
the VR
that's the
game.
New.
That's
well, prequel. Man, Supermassive announced like three new games,
a bunch of VR things. I was like, what's happening here?
They do that VR cover shooter.
Yeah, very strange.
And then also something for this new Playlink service, right?
Yeah, I think we're checking that.
And they're not working on this, but Final Fantasy Fishing.
That's also a thing.
Moss, the little mouse. Fall.
Yeah,
the Moss the Mouse is a nice, one.
Moss
I like that little rat, little furry friend,
like a Redwall inspired platformer.
Yeah. Thank you for the suggestion, Thomas in Kentucky.
That's good.
You guys did.
Kentuckians like spooky things. That's
well
what we
played.
Figured out.
Well played.
Yeah.
And that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you,
Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. And we're out.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.